You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast, 6 Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. And we got an action-packed hour for you. We're going to define the biggest questions of the week. You answer these questions, you make money. Also, bottom of the hour, first Vegas look at the three biggest football games of the week. In studio with me, the pros who know. Steve Fezzik, NFL specialist with all the college knowledge. Brad Powers, sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have the pros without the Joes. He's my favorite. Jonas Knox, voice of the fans.
Always good to be here on Straight Outta Vegas as we come to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we start with the World Series. The Red Sox beat the Dodgers last night 8-4 in Game 1 in Boston. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on Game 1 in which we saw Boston take a 1-0 series lead last night?
One of the, dichotomies, but then I'll explain. Well, one of the things that separate a Vegas bettor from a fan is the focus on wins and losses. We talked about it a little yesterday. You have a field goal, 38-yard field goal to win it, down by 2, seconds taken off. You make it. You win. You miss it. You lose. But how different are you as a team? Not at all. But when it comes to your record, your standings, your chance to make the playoffs, very different. Now, think about baseball. How often is a division leader in August, how often do they lose one game and the fans say, that's it, this team's horrible? Or a bottom dweller in August in baseball win one game. Oh, look, I know they're 30 games below 500, but they just won. So why would one game in August not mean anything, but one World Series game mean so much? Now, when it comes to you got to win 4 out of 7, it means a gigantic amount. So if you're a fan and you're rooting for the Dodgers, there's a reason to be upset, no doubt about it. If you're a Red Sox fan, reason to be happy. But if you're a bettor trying to assess how good these teams are, one game does not mean very much about the true quality of these teams. Now, that said, I think there were two takeaways or two factors uncovered or at least brought to light even more so worth talking about. One is Kershaw. Kershaw of the Dodgers in the playoffs. So if you look at his regular season ERA compared to the playoffs, he's almost, not quite, but almost 2 runs worse. 2.4 versus 4.2. Now think about that. It's not quite double, but it's almost double. Now we could say what? Let's try to be optimistic or positive for Kershaw. We could say, hitting is different in the playoffs. Well, if anything, scoring's typically lower in the playoffs, right? Because you have the bullpen ready to go more than the regular season. So now you got to pitch a good 6 maybe instead of a typical almost 8. I don't see any reason other than nerves. So let me open it up. Jonas, Brad Powers, Fezzik, can we think this guy over many games, not one game, not 2 games, is almost two runs worse, Kershaw, in the postseason? Is there any real reason for that, logical reason, other than nerves? Other than, we don't want to say choke, but choking. Fez.
I can't come up with anything.
Brad.
No.
Joe.
No, nothing.
All right. So, Fez got something.
Well, the bettors expect him to choke because we talk about how Kershaw is never an underdog during the regular season. And look at what that line did last night. Money kept coming in on the Red Sox. They closed like a -170 favorite against Kershaw.
Yeah, and I think the narrative is there, right? And think about it. In a sport where having a dominant pitcher is so important in the postseason. Having that ace is so important. To have your ace underperform so drastically in the postseason, it's not only a huge negative to win series, it's a psychological burden. It's like, hey, we can't, you know how great it feels if you're rooting for a team that has that ace that's going to win pretty much 9 out of 10 times? You're like, yeah, we're down 3-1, but we got rocket arm pitching next game. It relaxes you a little bit. With the Dodgers, you got to wonder, yeah, maybe they win tonight. And let's get an updated odds. Tonight, minus 140, the Red Sox are favored with Price on the mound. That's about home field. So they're saying these are even teams, even pitchers when you add it up. Red Sox minus 140 because of the home advantage. But I think that not only is Kershaw hurting them with the loss, but I think hurting them psychologically, as in they don't have their ace to rely upon. And I also think that I'm looking to bet against Kershaw next time. Why? Because if it is psychological, if it is nerves, now that you have a loss in the World Series, you're thinking, if I lose a second game, what kind of goat am I going to be? Not the good goat. So you never know. But I think if we agree that Kershaw is about nerves, he's going to have even more nerves as a problem the next time he starts. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Continuing on, I think there's a second point about the World Series, which is Fenway. Last time the Dodgers played in Fenway was 2010, 8 years ago. So just the eye test to me in that game last night, the unusualness, and most stadiums are pretty generic in baseball, the unusualness of that stadium, of Fenway, was a negative for the Dodgers. And we can say, yeah, now that they have a second game there, it's going to be less unusual to them. And I think that is an advantage for the Dodgers, or at least removing some of the disadvantage of Fenway being unfamiliar. But watching the game, and let me ask you, Jonas, watching the game, it felt like the Dodgers not being familiar with Fenway was a negative.
Yeah, there was some odd spots to where they didn't feel comfortable with the surroundings, the dimensions of the field, the dimensions of the park. And baseball is so weird because everywhere else, it's, you know, a 100-yard football field. The NBA court is the same size. The atmospheres are a little different.
What about the parquet floor?
Yeah, oh, that's true. And, you know, they did dead in the wood a little bit there, and there were ghosts in the garden. But in baseball, it's weird. You've got these individual ballparks that have their own dimensions that I'm surprised that there's not more, you know, 2-0 leads after you go away from a ballpark. I'm surprised when teams do split because you're not used to these surroundings. It doesn't look anything like Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, and I think Red Sox is more pronounced because it is unusual Fenway. And another thing, Dodgers are playing with a DH, and that's unusual. So you really think about it, playing in a stadium you haven't played in. This was entering the game yesterday. For 10 years, you hadn't played there. And how many of the players were there in 2010 for the Dodgers? And you're playing with a DH, which is unusual, though you do interleague. Tough. And you had your ace, who struggles in the postseason. Kind of makes sense a loss. By the way, updated series price to win the World Series. Red Sox now minus 270. Dodgers plus 240. So you got to bet 270 to win 100 on the Red Sox. Red Sox are clear favorites, up 1-0. And by the way, before the end of the hour, about 6:55 Eastern, I will have a pick on World Series Game 2.
Next year on Straight Out of Vegas, we transition to the NFL. The New York Giants have shaken up their roster again. First, it was former first-round pick Eli Apple, who was traded to the Saints yesterday. And then earlier today, Pro Bowl defensive tackle Damon Snacks Harrison was sent to the Lions in exchange for a fifth-round pick. RJ, what does Vegas make of the Giants' recent moves?
Personally, I put Apple in a different category. Locker room issues last year, a lot of turmoil. Not surprising, right? If you're not winning, why not get the character right? Or at least get the... And it's easy to point and say, oh, bad character. I don't know. I just know Apple had conflict with the Giants. But boy, Snacks. Now, I have a personal affinity to anyone named Snacks. I mean, you know, it's like just embracing your true nature. You got to kind of I appreciate it. Anyone that really embraces their true nature.
That's a bang bang.
Well, that's where we go have a whole meal at one place and then go right to another place and have another one. Bang bang.
Right? So snack. You ever bang bang fest?
I have bang banged.
There's a drop.
Oh, that's okay. It.
We'll say that.
I baited him into that one. But I got to tell you something. This is a shocker to me. So we did some work at pregame.com before the season. We went to Pro Football Reference, and we got every player that was an 8+. So the number 8, like a snowman, 8+ in their rankings, which was the average team had about 6 or 7 8+ players. The Giants had 2, and Snacks was a 7. So Snacks wasn't in that 8+, but there were only 2 players based upon Pro Football Reference, imperfect like any system is, better than Snacks Harrison. And he has multiple years left on his deal. I think it was you, Fez. What was it? $4 million they're paying him this year and 7 next?
Yeah, 7 next.
So explain something to me. They got a 5th-round pick. What is the rationale of the Giants making this trade? If you're saying, oh, I get the Raiders got a 1st-round pick. If you're trading potentially your 3rd-best player, if you're the Giants, and you're getting a 5th-round pick, and if it's your 3rd-best player, even if you're paying them $7 million next year, that's economical. So, I mean, the Raiders receiver, they got traded, what, is $14 million? They're paying him $13.9 million? I don't understand this. This feels like, I mean, I don't use the word dump in teams are dumping in the NFL. I just don't think they do. You can kind of say as a euphemism, oh, the Giants are looking with an eye towards next year. But even if you have an eye towards next year, why would you trade at minimum when you're top 5 guys that's only going to be getting paid only, quote unquote, $7 million? And by all accounts, he wasn't a locker room problem. So to me, this is a sign that there's some real discombobulation within the Giants. What I don't know exactly what they're thinking, but it doesn't seem like the Giants are thinking about winning. And what's interesting is you could say the same thing about the Raiders, but the Raiders' line since last week in this game against the Colts has moved 4.5 points against the Raiders. The Giants, after this move, which I think signals that winning this season doesn't seem to be the priority, the line hasn't changed. Washington is favored by 1 at New York. They were favored by 1 yesterday, favored by 1 today. But it seems like we have a signal from the Giants that they're not that their number one focus is not winning this year. So I'm going to look to play against them as the week progresses. When we come back, the biggest questions of the football week are answered.
That's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
I have bang banged.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. We'll compare rates for you so you get a great deal, even if it's not with us, saving you time and money. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will ask the biggest questions of the weekend in the NFL.
We love bringing Vegas to you, and we have fun doing it each day. Right now on the Strip, 82 degrees, and then neon is humming.
Guys, we look ahead to this weekend in the NFL in a brand new segment we are doing called Biggest Questions of the Week. And first up, which locker rooms around the league have the biggest question marks heading into this weekend's action?
You know, Jonas, I would actually ask the question a little differently. I would say, which locker rooms are in enough turmoil to affect the handicap? Because, Fez, let's say up until week 14, because at a certain point, the year's over, there's non-playoff teams, and we can debate, are they putting in 100%? But in the NFL, even if a team is 4-7 in week 12, usually effort's not the issue. You agree with that, right?
Yes, very much. Everyone tries to win in the NFL.
because to some degree, you're charging a lot of money as a franchise for 8 home games. You better be trying, right? And the whole process and the Sixers approach just doesn't work in the NFL. Now, you can, I mean, we've had times in the last 7-8 years, I think there's been twice that the two worst teams in the league were playing, and the winner would get the number 2 pick, and the loser would get the number 1, and they still were playing hard.
Yeah, and it always surprised me, and the bottom line is NBA teams, they tank, NFL teams, they don't.
That said, there can be turmoil in a locker room. I think there's 3 question marks that you can't handicap these teams' games this week without at least asking, is the locker room dissension turmoil enough to be a factor? Raiders, number 1, we talked about in segment 1. By the way, guys, if you don't get to hear the whole show, just go to your favorite podcast player, search for RJ Bell. You'll get Straight Out of Vegas. Subscribe every day. Producer Lauren does a good job. It's out like 5 minutes after the show's over. You can listen to it on demand right there. Raiders, the lines moved against them, 4.5 points. Traded their wide receiver, first round pick, senses, all playing for the future. Do you think the Raiders locker room, the Raiders motivation is a factor?
Oh, very much. I think that the whole point that they let Cooper go and Gruden did not communicate it to the players, there is basically...
So explain that. Gruden did not communicate it to the players.
Yeah, so the players are publicly commenting that, wow, we didn't even know about this. We found out through the media that Cooper was being traded. They're very upset about that. They wanted to hear it from their head coach. And I got to tell you, RJ, this 4.5 point line move, I don't think I've ever seen this happen when there isn't a quarterback injury and a team is on a bye. Think about it. Things aren't supposed to happen when you're on a bye.
Things are so much worse than they were last game. Well, wait a minute. There hasn't been a game in between.
So what's happened? Indianapolis beat Buffalo and the line moved 4.5 points. That is amazing.
So against the Raiders, now the Colts on the road, a 2-5 team on the road favored by a field goal at Oakland. Vegas is very much... the marketplace, the betting market thinks trouble in Raiderland. Team 2, the Giants. Trading Snacks Harrison. The market hasn't adjusted yet. To me, there's no rationale to trade Snacks unless... Now, I'll trade like a banana for Doritos or something. It's usually, like whatever trades I make with Snacks.
You'd win that trade.
No, I usually lose. My health loses. My taste buds tend to win. True. But when it comes to Snacks Harrison, we've discussed it. There's no rationale to the trade other than, hey, winning doesn't mean so much this year to the Giants, but the market hasn't moved. What do you think?
I think the market will move. I'll make a projection right now that the public is going to bet the Washington Redskins -1, and the pros are not going to want to bet back on the Giants with all this turmoil. I think that Washington probably closes a larger favorite.
Ooh, a little inside info from the Fez, only 2-time Super Contest champion. Last team, the Jacksonville Jags. 3 straight, really disappointing losses. I mean, I don't remember, what was it, 17 against KC and 37 against Dallas? I'm just going by memory. And then I know it was 13 against Houston they lost by. If I would have given you those 3 in a row and I said, I'll lay 12.5 against Houston, you know, whatever it is, 26.5 against Dallas, you know, like 1.5 point below the way it happened, would you have given me what, 1,000 to 1, 2,000 to 1?
The 3-team super pleaser, probably 200 to 1.
Yeah, so I mean, the Jags are like a shocking amount of underperformance. Now, a lot of jibber and jabber about maybe Bortles shouldn't be the quarterback, dissension in the locker room, and now you're on a trip. And I said it today on Adam Carolla's podcast. I'm on every tape it Tuesday, on it Wednesday. When you're in the back of the station wagon driving across country and the family's fighting, it's a little more intense than in everyday life, right? The stressors add to the dissension. Boy, it seems like his London trip might add to the Jags' problems.
Yes, and I bet the Eagles -3 because of that issue. The reason I didn't make a huge bet, just a bet, is because Jacksonville is familiar with that London trip. They make it every year.
Which is a slight advantage. And Philly was your early best bet yesterday on Straight Out of Vegas.
Yes.
So you expect that line -3, Philly's favored. You expect it to go up.
I do.
Guys, we continue our biggest questions of the week here on Straight Outta Vegas, because earlier today on The Herd, Colin Cowherd asked about history being made in this weekend's Packers-Rams game in L.A.
We all admit now that Aaron Rodgers is, right, great. Like, probably the most talented quarterback. I think Brady's the best, easily, but he's the most talented. They are a 9.5-point underdog now to the L.A. Rams with Aaron Rodgers. What is Vegas telling you about Green Bay? They don't have any players. Has Tom Brady ever been a 5-point underdog? Has Drew Brees, in the year the Saints were 7-9, 7-9, 7-9 with a bad defense, was Drew Brees ever a touchdown underdog? That is, I couldn't tell you the last time a Hall of Fame quarterback got 9.5. In 2018? Maybe in 1980.
So I disagree with Colin. History, Vegas history disagrees. Let's define the question, though. If what Colin is saying is, it's surprising, it's unusual to have a team have a quarterback as good as the Packers have with Rodgers and not be a better team than they are, I think he's right. We've talked about Russell Wilson in Seattle, Fez. We've been higher on Russell Wilson in Seattle than most anybody, because our thinking is in 2018, and Colin's right, quarterback has become more and more important, that the idea that you could be as good as Russell Wilson, some would say top five, and have a below average team, have a 6-win team, a 7-win Seattle team. We say history says no. Now, the one exception was Drew Brees and the Saints when they were 7-9 and they had a historically bad defense. But if you look at the Saints specifically and Drew Brees, Hall of Famer for sure, last 6 years, so going back to 2012, when Drew Brees started, they've been underdogs of more than a touchdown twice, and one of them in 2014 for the Saints, very analogous. Seattle was a 8.5-point favorite against the Saints, so the game was in Seattle, 2014, favored by 8.5 against the Saints in the playoffs. So what does that mean? Seattle at that point was the best team in the NFL. That was the perception. They were playing a borderline playoff team, the Saints. Now, they made the playoffs, but I say borderline because they had just snuck in. They just snuck in, and Seattle was favored by 8.5 with the Hall of Famer Drew Brees. Now, Rams, best team in the NFL. Fez, there's not even a debate about that. How much, in your power ratings, Fez, how much better are the Rams than the second best team?
They're 2.5 points better than the Kansas City Chiefs, my number two team.
So if the Rams are at home against the Chiefs, line's 5.5.
Yes.
Okay, so that's clearly the Rams are the best team, and they're favored now by 8.5, 9 or so against a borderline playoff team. It's hard to say the Packers are much more than a borderline playoff team. So I think Colin's point should not be, oh, you don't ever have a Hall of Fame quarterback being this big of a dog. And then Colin's point more accurately is, it's rare to have a Hall of Fame quarterback in his prime not have a better team. And with Green Bay being a borderline playoff team, playing the best team in the NFL, this line above a touchdown below 10, the Rams are favored by, makes sense. And history tells us it makes sense. When we come back in a minute, we are going to break down for the first time the three biggest football games of the weekend.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
We are an hour away from coverage on Fox of Game 2 of the World Series. Dodgers and Red Sox from Fenway. Boston's up 1-0, making a slight change to their starting lineup. Christian Vasquez is going to start at catcher tonight and bat ninth. Dodgers not making any changes to their lineup. It's lefty against lefty again. Hyunjin Ryu against David Price. First pitch, 8:09 Eastern time again. You can see it on Fox. Some news just coming down as the Big Ten Conference fined Michigan State $10,000 for violating pregame policies prior to their game last Saturday against Michigan. The conference gave public reprimands to Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio, Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, and Michigan linebacker Devin Bush. In the NFL, the Broncos let go of quarterback Chad Kelly today. He was released after he was arrested yesterday on charges of criminal trespassing. The Giants traded defensive lineman Damian Snacks Harrison to the Lions for a fifth-round pick, while the Jets placed running back Bilal Powell on injured reserve with a neck injury that will will require surgery, and there are reports this injury could be career-threatening. Some notes from the NBA. The league fined Lakers head coach Luke Walton $15,000 for criticizing officials following their overtime loss to the Spurs on Monday. While Timberwolves guard Anthony Wiggins is going to miss tonight's game against the Raptors with a thigh injury, ending his consecutive game streak at 243. It's just the second missed game for Wiggins in his career. And finally, a jury in Manhattan today found suspended Adidas marketing boss Jim Gatto, former Adidas consultant Merle Code, and aspiring agent Christian Dawkins guilty of all counts in the college basketball corruption scandal. Back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Straight Out of Vegas comes to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we will have Best Bets. I am Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
So it's past the bottom of the hour, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 here in Vegas. That means the week is more than half over. We now are freed up to start doing our full look ahead to the weekend. And we always celebrate that right now at 6:30 on Wednesday. We'll call it the Hump of Humps with the three biggest football games of the weekend. We're going to start in college. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Georgia, Florida. Right now, Georgia favored by between 6.5 and 7. In different spots. What's the big factors in the game?
Well, let's talk first. We'll transition from just the question segment that we just had in the NFL. I got a question here, just quite simply about Georgia. Here we are, almost Halloween, and I'm not sure really how good Georgia is. Number 4 in my power ranks, almost by default, because everyone else behind them has bigger losses than Georgia. Georgia, give them credit. They can only play the teams on their schedule. Beat 5 of them by 24 points or more.
So who's the best team Georgia's beat?
Missouri on the road.
And where's Missouri in your rankings?
Right around 20-25.
Okay. College football is unique, and I'm using the definition of unique, one of a kind, singular. They're unique in college football because you can be into late October and really not have played a game that's super meaningful if you're an elite team. Now, meaningful is probably not the right word. Not super telling. It doesn't tell. I mean, beating Missouri, what was the line? You remember the line in the Missouri
game? Yeah, Georgia was a 14-point road favorite.
Now, listen, Ohio State was almost a 14-point favorite, got beat. So let's give Georgia credit. They didn't, lay a huge egg in some of these other games. But, boy, winning a spread of 14, a game like that by 21 or 28 tells you something, but it doesn't tell you the same thing as beating a team that's competitive. The idea we're this late in the year, and we have so many question marks about Georgia, it really is unique to college football.
It is, and Georgia's played exactly one game, what I would consider legitimate opponent, LSU. Not a good look for Georgia, a 20-point loss. So question still remains, how good is Georgia?
So do you like Florida?
I do lean with Florida. Not like Florida, lean with Florida.
Ooh, okay. Now remember, guys, if you lean, it's like, hey, RJ's forcing me. But if they like, it means they're betting the game.
Guys, we go next in our early preview of the biggest games in the NFL and college football to the NFL. We just talked about the historical significance of the line, the betting line in the Packers-Rams game. If you missed that, you can check out the podcast on foxsportsradio.com. It'll go up shortly after the show. But the Rams, right now, a 9.5-point favorite in L.A. hosting the Packers.
And Fez, what we know is this. Having a borderline playoff team against the best team in the league, and that borderline team's on the road, this line of 9.5 is not crazy, not unusual. It is, though, Aaron Rodgers' biggest underdog of his career. He's never been this big of a dog. Another way to say that, I think, is Green Bay's never been this bad around them. Because even though the Rams are clearly the best team in the NFL, I don't think the Rams are historically good. Do you?
No, they're rated right about where a Super Bowl champ typically winds up.
Yeah, so every given year, you're going to have a team that's right around where the Rams are.
Correct.
So the idea that Green Bay's played in Super Bowls, Green Bay obviously against my Steelers, they won in 2010 season, no doubt. But is it fair to say that the Packers are the worst team that Aaron Rodgers has ever been surrounded by?
Oh, I think so.
So what are they missing? What are the key, is it running game? Is it defense? Obviously, it's some combination. What are you seeing with this Packer team?
Oh, I think it's the defense. We thought that they brought in some guys in the secondary. They were supposed to improve, and bottom line, it just hasn't happened, and it's frankly taken Herculean efforts from Rodgers in the fourth quarter to steal games against the Bears, against the 49ers.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We're breaking down the biggest games of the weekend. First time, 6:30 Eastern every Wednesday, first time of the week. So the Rams, on one hand, you got excited about them early. We got a bet where I'm giving you 6-1 on the Super Bowl. I like to
6-1.
All right. Don't perk up that much. Jeez. You see, I mean, wow. it was like he wasn't alive until we got to talk about that one. All right. You got me on that one. We'll see what happens. But the fact of the matter is there's been some real question marks recently about the defense. They've been getting run on. If you look at DVOA, an advanced metric, it hasn't been good for the Rams' rush defense. Obviously banged up with Tlaib. Peters banged up. To me, it felt like the 49er game, and we both had the 49ers, which sounds goofy now in hindsight, right? But we did. It seemed like almost a statement game. Third straight road game for the Rams, favored by almost double digits on the road. You think that's one they win by four. What did you see in the Rams game last week that caused you to reevaluate or not?
I didn't reevaluate that much. I did upgrade the Rams slightly, but the 49ers imploded with turnovers, so the Rams had a big turnover advantage.
Now here, Jonas, is where you can understand how stubborn professional bettors are like Fez. Now, that said, listen, Fez hasn't had a straight job since Prince was running around singing 1999 the second time here like 19 years ago. And we know this about Fez.
I am Elmer J. Foote, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
So he's smart. He's got a mansion. He's got a yacht. He hasn't had a straight job since 99. We agree with all that. But the stubbornness, here's the question. Would you bet right now San Francisco +9.5 against the Rams, hosting the Rams again?
No.
Oh, I'm shocked. So you just said you hardly upgraded the Rams, but the 49ers imploded. And, what we know for sure is turnovers tend to be random. So why wouldn't you want the same thing again?
When I said I hardly upgraded them, I did upgrade them by the Rams by 1 point, and I downgraded the 49ers by a point. So that was a significant
change. So really, you misled the nation.
Yeah, I misspoke.
I mean, we're on almost 200 stations. Many top 10 markets, top 20 markets, and you just misled.
Well, I saw the Raiders' power rating move 4.5 points, and I thought that was trivial compared to it.
But you didn't move the Raiders 4.5.
No, I did not. The market did, yes.
So you just lied again.
Yes.
Jeez, Jonas. I hope he can turn this around.
Unbelievable. He goes off speed here in the middle of the week. I can't believe it. Guys, we continue our biggest, our early preview of our biggest games in the NFL. We go to the rematch of the Minneapolis Miracle. It's the Saints going to Minnesota on Sunday night to take on the Vikings. This game on pregame.com right now is a pick 'em.
Okay, let's do this one quick, and we'll be talking about this later. I like the Vikings a good bit. I'm not making it official yet. My rationale is there's going to be a lot of narrative about redemption from the Minnesota Miracle. I think both these teams are at max motivated. I don't think it goes past 10. I think the Saints just played a physical game on the road against Baltimore. They won a coin flip. Everyone's all excited. Vikings have a key defender back. 32nd early handicap on this game, Fez.
Yeah, I think it's a great spot on point that the fact that the Saints won that game, now they're on the road against
Baltimore,
and now they go on the road against another top team. Really difficult to win both those games. And the Minnesota defense, which was bad early in the year, is improving. Gave up 21 points, then 10 points, then 17 points. The defense did the last three games. They're trending upwards. You bring it up, their pass rusher comes back this week.
Mike Lombardi had a stat. Last three games, the Vikings have allowed five third down conversions. Three games, five third down conversions successful. That's a defense trending up. When we come back, I got a free pick on tonight's World Series game.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Somebody tweeted. I see Van Fleet is questionable tonight. Better fade the baby dinosaurs.
I'm RJ Bell. We got Brad Powers talking in the background, but we are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have a best bet from Steve Fezzik. But guys, the World Series continues later on tonight. It is Game 2, Boston with a 1-0 series lead. David Price and Hyunjin Ryu is the pitching matchup. And right now, the Red Sox, a -140 favorite at Fenway.
I mean, when you could say Hyunjin Ryu that smoothly, Jonas.
If he wasn't in L.A., I'd have no shot at saying that. Honest to God.
I like this. I'm betting on the Red Sox. Now, listen, Straight Out of Vegas probably has more dedicated listeners than the typical radio show. Why? Because once you start figuring out, hey, I can do better with my betting by listening, now it's fun and you're doing better, right? So we got those dedicated listeners. They might say, RJ, you say dogs in baseball. I agree. I generally do, because I think that what's seemingly predictive in baseball, which would be, hey, how many games did this team win during the regular season, isn't really that predictive in the postseason. That's what history tells us. And we've been very effective just in our 5 weeks on Straight Out of Vegas betting dogs in baseball, giving those picks to you. I'm going favorite here. Two reasons. Price has a history, the Red Sox starter, of not doing well in the postseason. That's probably a little bit of an understatement. But he won his last one. Monkey off his back. So to me, whatever optimism I have for Price entering this game off a win is so much higher than it would have been entering last game before that first win. But I think the market's just looking at it saying, hey, here's a guy that has a career really good in the regular season and a career really bad in the playoffs. This is different, in my opinion, at least potentially, because Price is off a win. And obviously, there's some psychological elements to underperforming so much in the postseason. Second reason, in every other sport, football, college or pro, basketball, college or pro, hockey. I don't know much about soccer, and I don't like to talk about soccer. But let's stick with the American sports. If you have a must win, it's an advantage. Now, it can be such a stressful situation, it can start to have some negative elements. But in general, in football, if you have one team that you know is going to be motivated and the other team has questionable motivation, that team with the clear, quote-unquote, must-win motivation has an advantage. Football, basketball. But baseball is not about effort. It's not about, no, obviously you got to make a minimum effort. But it's not about, we're going to try extra hard today, guys. No. If anything, that tightens you up. That stresses you out. Baseball is a very zen game. It's not about aggression. So the instincts of the betting market are to say, wait a minute, Boston, they're up 1-0, they're fine, but the Dodgers need this win. To me, that's a negative, not a positive. But right now, Boston favored -140. It seems like it's being priced that, oh, the Dodgers have an advantage because they are more motivated. I think that's a disadvantage. RJ Bell says, free pick, Boston -140 tonight.
We will get to Fez's best bet here coming up in a moment. Want to let you know we are brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. It is a doubleheader tonight on ESPN in the NBA, and we start in Atlanta. Mavs at the Hawks. Dallas, a 1.5-point favorite.
So, Fez, you got first, I think, NBA best bet of the year on Straight Out of Vegas.
Yeah, I like Dallas. I bet Dallas -1.5. It is all about Dallas being undervalued based upon last year's win-loss record. They only won 24 games, RJ. How did they only win 24 games? Well, they somehow went 11-34 in games decided by 7 points or fewer. Coin flip games. But they really weren't coin flip games because Dallas had some very questionable personnel in the final 5 minutes of many of these games late in the year. They were trying to lose, in my opinion, by using their second stringers. Now they're trying to win. So because of that, Dallas undervalued, solid value tonight, Dallas -1.5.
So what you're saying is Dallas was tanking. That led them to have a worst record last year. They're being valued this year based upon last year's record, but they're trying to win this year. value on the Mavs. You especially like them best bet tonight against the Hawks.
Correct.
Okay. And we got one more NBA game. Remember, guys, in our last block, right before 7 Eastern, we always give you what you need for tonight's TV action. That's why we call it, Jonas coined the phrase, the pregame show you always wanted. It's Milwaukee. It's Philadelphia. Line opened up. Milwaukee favored by 4.5. It's been Bucks. Bucks on the Bucks. I've never said that before. Bucks on the Bucks. Up to 6. I actually still like Milwaukee here. I'm not betting it. So let's call it a lean. And here's why. I don't think any team in the NBA has benefited more than Milwaukee from the new coach. And they're running a very modern offense. And this is a team that is going to benefit from, they got the players to benefit from that type of offense. On the other hand, Philadelphia, if you listen to the guys that watch every game, Embiid's just not moving as effectively in the blocks as he's been. Is it injury? Is it something? I don't know. Milwaukee, though, I think is better than the record. Philly, probably a little bit worse. So I'm going to go with a pretty strong lean on the Bucks tonight, -6.
The Odd Couple comes up next. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.